Shonorama here. Kind of a part two off the last podcast. I had a lot I wanted to say in the last one. So this podcast, this is the big talk my wife and I had about. We weren't talking about success necessarily. A friend of ours is making a big life change, and it really got Sylvia and I talking about things. And it's kind of spurred, interestingly enough, it kind of spurred off the Batman v Superman talk. I had a podcast about that a little while ago, talking about the success of the film, sort of, if the film is deemed successful and all that sort of stuff. And my wife and I were really, really talking about, at length, it was a very good discussion, about success. And then I was checking out this documentary that's on Netflix, and I'll try to put a link on it here. I can't remember what the name of the documentary was, but it was a documentary about a drummer's camp in Canada. I can't remember if it was Vancouver or something like that. Basically, a drum camp for kids. You know, kids would come in, and you'd have these master drummers teach the kids what drumming's all about. And this is where this whole conversation came from. So there was a line in it where there's this this young kid, throughout the whole documentary, I mean, there was lots of the kids were, you know, kind of talking and kind of giving their two cents about what it was like to go to this camp. But anyway, they were talking about this one kid. He was talking about how he got to play drums while the teachers, and these teachers were really, really good drummers, as they're watching him, like they're watching him play, and he's playing in front of all the other kids that are there, and he's playing really, really well. You know, he's not worried about, he's not worried about the technique. He's just playing. And they're watching him, and I'm watching the teachers, and their eyes are wide, like, you know, it's like, yeah, this kid's getting it. This kid's really getting it. Like, he's playing really well, but he's getting it, you know. The look, and they're looking at him, and he's looking at them, and he can see the look in their eyes, and just the way he was so animated when he was talking about that, like how rewarding it was. And you know the teachers are like really behind him, like, you know, good job, blah 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 blah, you know. And and he's blown away by being blown away by what people that are blown away by him. So I mean, the teachers go, wow, you know, this guy's really good, and he's watching their reaction. He's blown away by that, by their reaction to his playing. I mean, he was a good drummer. He must have been somewhere between 12 and 15 years old or something. And he was good. I mean, he had a really good feel. And I mean, it came out, and these drummers, I mean, there was a couple of drummers that had played with Santana, percussionist. One guy was a percussionist, one guy was a drummer. And I mean, they've all had a lot of influence, like on more like Latin Cuban drumming and that sort of thing. Anyway, so, you know, that part really struck me, like what that kid said and how he was speaking about his experience, and they're showing his experience. And then later, one of the other teachers, I can't remember the names, and it had a huge impact on me here. I actually got goosebumps as he was talking, and he's standing in front of the kids, and he's not saying anything. He's just tapping his chest. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Boom, just tapping his chest in that pattern. He goes, I'm paraphrasing here, and I apologize if I'm not getting exactly correct, but he said something along the lines of, heartbeat, that's a drummer. A drummer is a heartbeat. It's what you feel inside. The beat that you're playing, the beat in the song, that is your heartbeat, and you're putting your heartbeat out there. And drumming is about feeling, and it's about putting your heartbeat out there. Anyway, something along those lines. Got goosebumps listening to this guy talk, because he was talking with this teacher, had such passion, and he was talking about, you know, drumming, how It's not about the technique. It's about a feeling. It's about following your heart, because everybody has a beat inside them. It doesn't matter who you are. Everyone has a beat inside them, and it's that heartbeat. And the good drummers are really the ones that lock into that heartbeat they have and play. So there was a lot of talk in this documentary about technique, you know, paradiddles and how to use your hands, like the timing, like if you're playing in four time, or you know, like three quarter time or one quarter time, or you know, 16ths or 30 seconds or whatever, like all the technical jargon. I'm not going to bore you with the technical side of it, but they're talking a lot about technique, and that's what this is, and that's what that is, and kind of explaining the theory of music, and particularly drumming. But then the larger focus at the beginning was about the technique, and you're seeing these guys using techniques, and they're explaining the technique and what it's for, and as it gets towards the end, the lesson they're teaching is, you know, okay, all technique aside, it's feeling that heartbeat within you, that beat within your soul, which is your inner rhythm, and using that inner rhythm and playing that inner rhythm. Just the drum set's an extension of your heartbeat. Wow, it just resonated with so much, and I really got to thinking about it, and it's so true, because I very often think that I'm not a very good drummer. I don't, even though I've been playing for a fairly long time, I haven't practiced maybe as much as some, but I'm always following my inner heartbeat. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm in the car, if I'm in a movie theater, anywhere I am, my hands are tapping or my feet are tapping. There's always a soundtrack playing at all times, and there's always a beat playing. Like right now, I'm doing everything I can not to tap on the steering wheel of the car and not, you know, tap on the ground. I've got this one spot in my car, and so with my left foot, there's no the brake pedal's not there, and there's this flat surface, and it has this really nice sound. And when I'm in the car, generally, you know, when I'm listening to music, or even when I'm not listening to music, I'm using my left leg or my left foot to mimic the right foot on the kick drum, and I'm using my one finger on the one hand to simulate what the hi-hat is doing, and the other finger, my middle and my third finger, to simulate the snare. I'm using the two fingers to simulate the snare if I'm doing a drum roll. So it would be, so I'll go like that, but then I'll use the other finger. I don't know if you can hear this or not, but I'm using the other finger for the hi-hat. So I'm always doing there's always drumming going on, and I'm always feeling a rhythm. When I listen to electronic music, I always find when I'm listening, sitting down, concentrating, listening to it, or even particularly when I'm not concentrating, I'm hearing the beat within the beat. I'm always finding the heartbeat within something. So if you have a drum beat that goes boo da boo da boo da, the heartbeat could be boo da boo da, or it could be the beat within the beat, boo ah boo ah boo. So it's that percussion between the beats. There's a heartbeat within there, even though you got the beat going, you know, one and two, one and two. The beat might actually be at the end, one and two and three and four, and that might be the heartbeat of it. Anyway, maybe I'm getting a little too philosophical here. So it really got me thinking. I was really, really thinking about it. And then I was thinking about the Batman v Superman talk I was having, how, you know, some people they're just predetermined not to like the movie. They decided they weren't going to like the movie, and, you know, it was just decided, like, I'm not going to like this movie. And they didn't like it going in. I came in with no preconceived notions, and I went to see this movie, and I really, really loved the crap out of this movie. It was really, really good. Like, for me, the heartbeat of that movie hit everything it matched a lot of things in the way I would write something. So my own inner heartbeat, my creative heartbeat, my writing heartbeat, my visual, the visual that I have, the way I picture things, it synced with my heartbeat in a lot of ways. And that's why I really like the movie. When I'm trying to explain it, why I like the movie, I'm explaining it in broader strokes, while other folks are talking about, or didn't like the movie because it didn't match their heartbeat, but then they might point out technical aspects of the film they didn't like. I didn't like the costume. Technically, it doesn't look exactly like the costume from the comics, or technically, when Superman flies, it doesn't look like this. It should look like that. They're pointing out technical aspects from the art version of these heroes to the page, to the, well, the historical, taking a historical perspective. So not taking the heartbeat of the characters, but you're talking about pure fact why this movie sucks. So, got me thinking a little bit further. I was talking to my wife, who is a hairstylist, phenomenal hairstylist. I look at the work she does, and I am blown away. Like, I am my wife's biggest fan. I think she is the greatest thing. I think she has, when she does hair, when she's doing an updo or a color or a cut, like, she's styling, like, she's creating art. And what she's doing when she creates her art, and it is art she creates, there's no question about it, she goes in and she frames that whole process of doing that person's hair based around a number of things. She does not do it from a technical side. Yes, she uses techniques, but she goes by feel, person's personality, the shape of their face, how all that relates together. When she's doing someone's hair and she's talking to somebody, she's pulling out a feeling out of that person on what to do with the hair. And I'm going to say most of the time she hits it because she's really good at listening to the client and what they're looking for, what they're trying to convey. And when she does hair, it's art. And the canvas she is using is that person. So when someone's drawing a painting of someone and they're doing a painting of that person, that person doing the painting is doing that interpretation of that figure, of that subject. It is a artistic expression of that subject. My wife does exactly the same thing with someone and their hair. She is making an artistic expression of that person based upon input from the person, upon feeling, upon multiple aesthetics that are not technical. Yes, there's technique in what she does, but the final result is using techniques to create a feeling about that person. Some people think, well, you're just doing hair. No, she's not doing hair. It is way more than that. And that's the way she's always done it. So then we talked about this at length. And we talked about my quote unquote failure as a drummer, because I don't feel I'm a great drummer. The drummer in my band, he's a phenomenal guy. Phenomenal. Like, his technique is stupid. It is so good. I really love listening to him play. Very technical guy. Very technical guy. Sorry about that. I had a phone call that I had to take, and now I'm going to keep talking here. So, anyway, so here's kind of where my wife and I just really started exploring that idea of technique versus feel and art versus technique. And as I was saying, my drummer, really technical guy, and I compare myself when I'm trying to determine if I'm a good drummer or not. This is what I'm comparing myself again. I don't do this when I drum, or I don't really know how to do that. I could probably learn with lots of practice. But when I'm drumming, I'm kind of doing my thing. I've got a thing that I do. I don't really think about it much, but this has been brought up with me, is that I have a really good sense of groove. And I can really, really find a groove in something. I can just, you know, I kind of know what I'm doing. I know how to get there. I can find that pocket, and I can play in that pocket, and I can improvise within that pocket. I don't have any issue at all sitting down with any band, but particularly, I guess maybe not any band. Let's just refresh that. If I'm going to sit in with a bunch of old guys, and I mean older than me, I guess, that are just grooving out to, I don't know, some old blues, some jazz, some rock, some pop, I can just jump in there and find the beat and play it. Just find the feel and just go with it. Like, I can just totally, totally do that. And I've done it. Like, I mean, there was, I was up north of here, and I heard this band playing, and they had no drummer. They sounded really good, but there's just no drummer. I'm like, well, sounds so naked. It's like it's missing something. And they were playing like some old like Clapton, Cream stuff, and you know, some Jimi Hendrix and you know, those sorts of things. Stuff that had a kind of bluesy feel to it. And I followed the music, and I went over there, and I saw a drum set up, and I saw three guys playing on stage, you know. And I'm like, well, there's no drummer here. Like, I don't quite understand what's going on. So I tried to figure out, you know, what's going on. So I went over there and I just played with them. I just walked up on stage and said, where's your drummer? We don't have one. And then I sat behind a kit and started playing. These guys were shocked. Like, what are you doing? But that's kind of my nature. That's kind of how I think and operate. So anyway, so and it's a feel thing. Like, I hear what other people are doing in the room, and I play with that. I just go with that. And that's what I do. That's, as a drummer, that is my thing. That's what I do. So feel. So yeah, you know what? I've got some good feeling when I play. I know what I'm doing. I know the sound. I know how to find that pocket, like all that stuff. Like that is me. That is my strength. And I've never considered myself a good drummer because I can't always pick up technique like I would like to. You know, technique is something that's practice, but feel is a different thing altogether. So anyway, so you know, my wife and I were comparing, like, well, this is what she does when she cuts hair, and you know, when she's doing people's hair, she's not, you know, she's like, well, you know, it's not like I don't. She has a lot of technique, but she doesn't rely on it, and she's learned a lot. She's done a lot of education and things, and she's really, you know, she's really figured things out. But it's more feel over style or over technique. And so we were going on about this for a while, and then we started equating it. So my drummer, very technical guy, where I'm probably, I don't know, this is my estimation, I'm probably 80% feel, 20% technique. Do I have technique? Yeah, certainly do have technique. I mean, I've been playing for a really long time, and I've learned to do a lot of things. I do have a fair amount of technique. I mean, you do when you play for that long. But technically, am I as good as my drummer? Technically, I'm not even close. I'm not even in the same neighborhood. But I've got a feel that, you know, I would say my feel is stronger than his feel. And I'm not trying to brag here. But my technical side, I pale. I completely pale in comparison. I don't have that. And that's why I consider him a better drummer. Now, someone else might hear me play, and maybe they'd say the same thing about, you know, in reverse. Like, yeah, but they might say that I'm the better drummer because I have more feel. But again, it's kind of all relative, I guess. The style of music we're playing, technique is really, really important. So, let's take it further. If you look at art or a painter or a writer for that matter, there's certain writers that are really, really good. I mean, and they have this ability to draw people in. Just completely drawn in. And they get it right off the hop with their first book. It's because they have a feel. So if you take someone like J.K. Rowling, who I think she started off with Harry Potter. Maybe she'd done some other stuff previous, but her big claim to fame was Harry Potter. And there is immense feel in the Harry Potter. Immense feeling. And I would hazard to say, but she has really good technical skill as well. But, I mean, it's the feeling that draws people in. The technical skill is so things don't fall apart. But if you have something that's entirely technical with no feel, you're not going to capture the feelings of an audience. Like, that's just the way it is. I mean, unless you're, you know, I enjoy watching a technical musician play. I really love the technical aspect of it. But for me to completely fall in love with something, it's going to be entirely dependent upon how that person is emoting through their instrument. So, same thing. Art, writing, it doesn't matter what it is. To really catch fire, you have to have that feeling part down. So it's the same thing with movies. If you see a movie and there's a movie that really strikes you, and a lot of people don't like that movie, it's because it struck a chord with you on a personal level, from an empathy point of view, or like you're empathic to what's happening in the story, and they captured something that was really dear to you. All kinds of art work that way. Reading a book and it really working for you. Like, let's take the Twilight series, for example. I know it just gets thrown over the coals, but what happened with that book is the technical writing isn't, and this is opinion, the technical side of it is what gets eviscerated in reviews. But her feel, she captured something that connected with a lot of people. She captured that feel down pat. And it was a feel that was so broad that the audience for Twilight is ridiculous. It's ridiculously huge and popular because she managed to get that feeling in there. Now, from a technical side, because the subject matter means nothing to me, I go back to the emotional side of it, the feeling side of it, meant nothing for me because I couldn't relate in any way, shape, or form. If it doesn't for you, you start relating to the technical side of things. Well, she, you know, there's run-on sentences, or, often repeat this a word too often, or whatever. Like, you just look at the technical side of it, and it seems weak, and then you can't enjoy it because you're hung up on the technical side because there was nothing on the emotional side to draw you in. So, let's further take that back. In relating to what we talked about on the last podcast just before this one, and that was success. What is success? Now, the majority of people view it this way, and there's books and books and books and books out about this that state that success is making money, being financially independent, and they really focus on that side of things. You know, you get a good job, you go to school, you get a job, and yes, sometimes do something you're passionate about, but it's always about making more money and being financially secure. And the majority of things look at that. It's about, you know, making money and how to make more money and how to maximize your profits and money, 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 money. If you look at the money side of it, the money, making money at something, and when they're talking in those terms, is the technical side of success. If you're successful, the technical side of it, the fact of success, the way we measure success, is how much you make. Are you successful? Well, I made $1 million last year doing what I love to do. The measure of the success is the income generated. Other measures of success were compromise. How much did you have to compromise? Did you make $1 million playing for the Celtics? Or did you make $1 million with your own company that you put together that puts out your material? Are you your own record label and you put your albums out on your own record label and you've reaped 100% of the profits? So there's different levels of success. Success is the technical side and it's the heartbeat side, the feeling side. And here is my view on this, and this is what I touched upon in the last podcast, is it success if you've gone to school for 4 years or 8 years or whatever it is, taken all this training, you learn all these technical skills, you get really, really good at something, just technically, you spend so much time in school and you're sacrificing everything to learn and to pick up all these technical skills. And then once you've got all these technical skills, you can command a larger salary. Because, it says my name, and after my name, it gets a certificate against it. And then you can show your GPA, I guess, or whatever, if you really need to. Or, your list of accomplishments are purely based on a degree, how much money you make, your position within a company. So that is a measure of success, but it is a technical measure of that success. The more heartbeat side of it, the feeling side of it, success is I'm doing something I love. I love going to work every day, whatever it is. I mean, you may love plumbing, and every time you go to someone's house, and you've got to fix their plumbing, and you've got to find a creative solution to the example, and then the client's very, very happy that you're able to find a way to resolve the issue they had with the plumbing. It was a leak, and it just didn't look good. It wasn't aesthetically pleasing, and, we had an issue, and da-da-da-da, and you just go on and on, and you make that person happy. That is your personal success. You're getting a feeling from it. So you did a job that you thought looked great or performed the way you wanted it to or, and you're very satisfied with the result, and your client is satisfied with your result. That is success. Now, if you make money doing it, then you've achieved a critical success. I'm using Dungeons and Dragons terms here. But it is a technical success. Technically, on paper, you are successful. The emotional side, which is kind of not really measured because it shouldn't be measured, is you're successful because you did a job that someone appreciated. That is the emotional success that we're talking about. And you've achieved it. So that's a measure of success. So, and I think to me, that is the true measure of success. So let's look at my work. I have my job that I go to every day, and I bring some shekels home. It pays the bills, and it allows me to do other things with my life. The money allows me to do other things that I'm passionate about. Am I passionate about work? I try to be as passionate as I can be about work, but at the end of the day, it's not what guides me, it's not what drives me, it is just one aspect of something that I do. It's not who I am, it's just what I do during the day. Am I successful? I think I'm incredibly successful. Maybe not financially so. I mean, I make enough money to pay the bills. But in my life, the things that concern me, the things that I'm interested in, is creating. And if I can create something maybe not finish creating something, but if I can do something creatively every day, I feel good. I feel I can breathe. I feel really great. That's success to me. If I'm able to come home at the end of my work day, not be stressed out about work, just able to finish my work day, get home, and do the things I love and be with the people that I love, to me, that's success. I'm able to create every day something. I'm able to do something creatively every single day. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whatever. I may write a song. I may come up with the ideas for another novel. I may do some fine tuning in the studio, work on something. I may put out this podcast. I may talk passionately about something. I may have a really good hangout with some buddies and laugh really, really hard. Those are all successes to me. Creatively, my creative thing is that's my passion thing. That's my passion. That's what I love to do, creating. But I'm fulfilled on the creative side that I do enjoy spending time with my family. It's not my creativity, my passion. It's not so passionate that I put everything else aside. It's just, you know, I'm able to balance the two. And to me, that's a success. Because successfully balancing is actually another form of success too. So you can be happy in your personal and your creative life. So let's go back to an example. I'm going to try to use an example that doesn't incriminate anybody. But let's say, for example, that I've decided I'm going to be a freelance writer. I'm going to be writing for other people. And that's my passion, is writing. Not necessarily writing for myself, but I want to go out there and I want to get signed. Not to get signed, but I want to do freelance work and I want to be able to put the written word out there under my name. And that's my passion. And, you know, I get a job here, I get a job there. Does it pay the bills? Well, not quite, but I get to do it and I get to call myself a professional. And that's how I view things, and that's, you know, kind of what I'm shooting for. And that's all great. That's all great, fine and dandy. And that's what I'm doing. I'm not making enough money to quit my day job, but I'm still doing this. And I'm having fun. Like, I'm happy. I'm comfortable doing what I do. And, you know, it's all good. So that's awesome. That's successful. That is a success. I'm running a business out of my home called Freelance Writer. I get to write off some expenses. I get to actually do this. I'm happy. This is great. That's a success. Now, let's look at the other side of it. Let's say, as a writer, I decide that I'm going to open up a company. It's a writing company. I love writing so much. So I decide to open up, because I enjoy writing so much, I'm actually going to create a company and pay writers to work for me and be a senior editor or editor-in-chief. So what I'm doing is I'm hiring writers to do writing, and I'm putting the writing out there, and there's a business model, and the writing is going out there. People are seeing it. People are reading it. People are buying the magazine, the e-magazine, or the book series, or they're reading the authors under my belt, blah, like whichever, right? So the question is, my passion was writing, and I've started a writing company. What this pretty much means is I've given up writing to start a company about writing. Not doing writing, but about writing. And maybe I'm writing the editorial or the opening paragraph for someone else's book, or I'm putting out the newsletter for the book, or whichever. Like, that's what I'm doing. But I'm not really writing anymore. I do a little bit of writing, but the majority of my work is running the company. Now, if that is your thing, and writing wasn't what you were passionate about, it was actually running the company, that was your passion, then you're successful. But for me, I want to be a writer. I want to be a writer. I am a writer. I like to write and I want to keep writing. That is my passion. I'm writing. That's my thing. But what's happening is if I were to start a company, and I did try to start a company once upon a time, and it was a writing company. And I started a writing company, and that's what I was doing, and I was managing all these writers, but I was still trying to get content out. And I spent most of my time worried about what the other people were doing instead of focusing on mine, so my focus gets split. So now I'm not following my passion, I'm fostering other people's passion. So that's not, I'm not successful. So I go, here's another example. And really what it is some people find success is I have to open up a shop. And I have to go out there and, you know, run the business. Because running a business is success. That's the definition. But it's not. Leaving your home and running a company, it might be the definition of success for some, but it's not for me. If I'm working out of my home, I've got no employees to worry about. I'm doing what I'm passionate about. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And I can do it from home, and I get home time, and I don't have to be a slave to the office. For me, that is a success. That is my success, because that is what I want to do. That's what I enjoy doing. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of my, that's how I believe. So anyway, I think that's my podcast. I'd like to get some input on this, because I'm really, really curious how you guys feel about this, but anyway. Anyway, so we're going to sign off here, and we'll check in with you on the next podcast. This is Sean Aram signing out. Talk to you later.